there's that expression that says we stand on the shoulders of others, those who have gone before us. And that's very true when it comes to the church. Going back to its very beginnings 2,000 years ago, but also in its more recent history here in this congregation, the work that we do now as a church has its history and its foundation in others who have gone before us. Many of their names have been forgotten and lost in the mists of time. But without them, we would not be where we are today as a congregation. Seeds sown by others in the past continue to bear fruit in the present. There are those who worked to erect this church 127 years ago, a building which we can still enjoy and in which we can worship. There are those who have contributed money for its upkeep and the staffing of its ministers and other personnel. There are many who have taught and preached and cared to strengthen the life of this congregation and of its individual members. And so indeed we are blessed to reap this harvest of history. And so today, together with our gratitude to God for the physical harvest which we enjoy, we give thanks for the harvest that we enjoy because of the work of those who preceded us in this church. And as our own response of gratitude and appreciation to God and to those who have come before us, I want to encourage you to consider anew your own part and your own role within this congregation. The seeds which each of us can sow in the present for the benefit of the church and the community, and also for those who will come after us. To change the image for a moment, we remember today the race that others have run faithfully, and the fact that they have now passed over to us, as it were, the baton for us to run our part, our stretch of this relay race. We heard words in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God who supplies seed to sow and bread to eat will also supply you with all the seed you need and will make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. God supplies each of us with seed to sow. And I'm not thinking about sowing our wild oats. But he supplies gifts and resources in order for us to make a contribution to the overall life of our church and the work of God's wider kingdom. One of the things Paul is speaking about in this passage is the giving of our financial resources. And those remain an important part of the ministry of any church. To sustain our work in the church and in the wider community, we will always require financial resources. And we here are blessed through the faithful giving of our members. And we give thanks for that today. But the pandemic has affected the finances of our church and of our circuit, as of course it has affected so many people in so many places. And I want to encourage you to bear that in mind as you offer your own financial support to the church as we move into the coming months. But the role that each of us plays goes a lot deeper than that. The Methodist Church of Great Britain has recently launched what is called a Methodist way of life. And I think that's a good place for us to start, as today I encourage us to think about our own walk with God, our own life within the church and in God's work. This Methodist way of life centers around four elements which the Methodist Church considers vital for our growth as individuals and also for the church. And each of us is being invited to commit ourselves anew in these four vital areas of our faith. The first of these is worship. Worship on our own and together with other people. In the wording of the way of life, we are asked to commit ourselves to pray daily, to worship with others regularly, and then thirdly, to look and listen for God in Scripture and in the world. I've spoken extensively on this area, this vital area of worship, over past weeks. The prayer course that we are offering over the coming 8 weeks, beginning this coming week, is also an opportunity to grow further in that area of our relationship with God. The worship that we give God, not just on a Sunday, but in the living of our lives day by day. The second area in that way of life is that of learning and caring. And so in that we are invited to commit ourselves, firstly, to care for ourselves and those around us. Secondly, to learn more about our faith. And then thirdly, to practice hospitality and generosity. And so this area focuses us around our life together as a congregation and the fellowship that we share within the church. The third area is that of service. And within that area of service, firstly, helping people in our communities and beyond. Secondly, caring for creation and all God's gifts, so important in these days. And then thirdly, challenging injustice. The final area is that of evangelism, where we are invited to commit ourselves, firstly, to speak of the love of God. Secondly, to live in a way that draws others closer to Jesus. And thirdly, to speak of our faith with other people. These four areas fit in well with our own vision as LMC, L for love, our love relationship with God, the area of worship, M for mission, which embraces both service and evangelism, our outreach in those different ways, and then thirdly, the C standing for caring and learning. Over the next few weeks, together with the annual membership cards that members will be receiving, you will also receive this card setting out this Methodist way of life. On the reverse are some questions for us to consider, which help us to think about how we are getting along in those different areas. And it's suggested that we try to link up with somebody else, or maybe within a small group, and to meet with that person or that group regularly, every week or every couple of weeks, and to chat briefly about how we are doing, to encourage each other, to keep each other accountable, and to support each other with our prayers. The danger with any program like this is that it can become legalistic and not just another obligation that we feel is being placed on us in the things that we ought to be doing. But we mustn't allow it to become that. I think it all depends on our motives. Do we do such things simply because we are told it's the right thing to do? Because it's good for us as Christians? Or do we do them as a loving response? A loving response for all that Jesus has done for us. And as a way of seeking to deepen that love relationship with Him. And of seeking to help others to experience something of that love of Jesus. I think it's like any relationship. If you take a marriage, if one makes a commitment to have an evening alone with one's partner on a regular basis, we don't do that out of a sense of obligation, but we do it, I'm sure, out of a sense of wanting to deepen and enrich that relationship. And that's what we are being invited to do here in our relationship with Jesus. And so I pray that we would be able to do that. And in that way, for each of us to become part of the harvest of history. Part of the harvest of history for those who follow us in the years and the decades to come. Amen.